Hello, my name's Owen. I work for Park End Church in Cardiff. I am not here to say negative things about J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling has probably done more for women and children than a lot of churches. She has fearlessly stuck her neck out against this bizarre social experiment of transgenderism, which will pass one day. And so many of us are grateful to God for her and for the untold good that she's done in voicing her concerns about it. However, I am here just to look at one or two things she's recently tweeted or X'd about the Bible and women. Here it is, should be up on the screen, part of a much wider tweet or X post. Womanhood isn't a mystical state of being, nor is it measured by how well one apes sex stereotypes. We are not the creatures either porn or the Bible tell you we are. And she goes on, nor are we God's afterthought sprung from Adam's rib. So is she right? Does the Bible teach that women are God's afterthought? A few quick thoughts. Sticking with the Bible, because it's good to do that. If you enter in, you should stay with it to the end. God isn't presented as someone that has afterthoughts in the sense of, whoops, didn't think about that. Never occurred to me that Adam might be on his own. Better stick someone else in there, though they're not as important. Also, it seems to have already been planned that male and female are a thing way before this, whoops, afterthought from Adam's rib tape. Male and female already exist in the other things that have been created by the living God. It's all gearing up for the pinnacle moment. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make mankind in our image, says the living God. This isn't just Adam. Genesis 1:27 says male and female God made them. So when you get to the individual creations in Genesis 2, you have to have had that in mind already, that male and female is planned. Also note, God says, let us make mankind in our image. So there's equality between man and female, as there's equality in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Just on JK's specific wording, where she says, sprung from Adam's rib, well, many Bible scholars think a better translation is from Adam's side. Eve was taken from Adam's side. And that's really important because the narrative is trying to get a picture across to us that Adam is really divided in two here. And what comes forth is something intimately connected to him. And the Bible teaches that this is an intimate picture of Jesus and the church. Jesus, male, church in the Bible, described as the bride, the female, intimately connected. In fact, Jesus wins the bride on the cross and he's speared in his side as he's winning her from hell and death and judgment. There are motifs here going on that we can't just put to the side. The Apostle Paul teaches that the Adam and Eve story is a picture of Jesus and his bride. And therefore, woman is no more an afterthought than church is an afterthought, and church cannot be an afterthought to God because God's people are said in the Bible to have been known and chosen before the foundations of the very world. Also, back on this equality theme, the word helper, Eve is Adam's helper, it's not great in English, that word helper, because we sometimes think, oh, here comes someone of lesser status to help someone of greater status. But that word helper in the Old Testament appears 29 times, at least 13 times of them, God is described with that word as our helper. So it's not about status. God isn't of less status than us. It's actually used in terms of saving help. Psalm 70 verse 5, God is described as, you are my helper and my deliverer, my saviour. The final motive that we draw from the Adam and Eve story, which is much grander and greater than this tweet indicates, is that the pinnacle of all the male and female that has gone before in the creation story, in fact, the pinnacle of the entire creation, is Eve, the woman. Because she represents church, all of the universe is for her. She's not an afterthought. Ephesians 1:22-23, look at the position of church. God placed all things under his feet, that's about Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. There's that motif again. Adam's body, Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is perhaps why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 says that the wife is the glory of the husband. It's as if a man's fullness is shown in his bride. Again, grateful for J.K. Rowling. There's just some thoughts about what's going on in Genesis 1 and 2.